It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
People are talking about today here around the country and in some cases around the world. Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Apparently, about 82 million people have already voted either by mail-in ballot or some states allow some in-person voting in advance. But that's about half the registered voters, right?
I'm not sure about that. I don't have the bottom line number in front of me, but it sounds about right.
Hey Siri, how many registered voters in America? We'll see what she says. Well, 168 million, so not quite half.
Okay, but it's still up there. Yeah.
That's a lot, and so we'll start getting official results after 8 p.m. Really, you have to wait to the West Coast, too, because they're 3 hours behind. And then you have Hawaii, but you'll get a sense of what's going on late into the evening.
Now, I want to just do a quick little, if I could get to what I'm looking for. Jeez. Scrolling, and getting nowhere. I was trying to find the total number of votes that were cast in 2020. Just to give us some idea of what kind of participation was high. I know it was high, but I just wanted to get an idea because we might wind up with more voters this time around. Is what I'm trying to say.
Right, and don't forget we were in a pandemic situation for the last election,
and still so, that was participation was high.
Yeah, and a lot of atypical things happened, obviously, in that process. But in the meantime, you can start to vote officially here coming up in 51 minutes. And the polls will be open until 8 p.m. If you have a mail-in ballot you didn't mail in, you can take it to one of 10 if you're in Allegheny County and a registered voter there. 10 ballot deposit sites that you can get on Allegheny County website.
I found the numbers from last year. So we had 81 million votes for Joe Biden, 74 million votes for Donald Trump. It was 155 million.
So yeah, 168 million registered voters right now. So it has increased.
And we don't know how many newly registered voters we have either. The number that we're working with is probably from last year or the year before that.
So we'll see where this takes us. People also talking about the fact that Pittsburgh, once again in the bullseye for the campaigns yesterday, Donald Trump at PPG Paints, Kamala Harris at the Cary Furnace site, and then they went off to other places. Harris went to Philadelphia, and they all kind of crisscrossed through the swing states.
And then I guess Donald Trump went up to Grand Rapids, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
He ended his night at Grand Rapids. And by the way, Kamala Harris will be in Washington tonight, and Donald Trump will be in Mar-a-Lago, Florida, where he has a home. It's an old, actually, the Post. You know the Post cereal family?
Mm-hmm.
They own that land.
Oh, I didn't know about that part of it.
Yeah, it comes with a 9-hole golf course.
Oh, I've seen it.
It's actually a beautiful resort.
Yeah, it's a huge place.
So that is Donald Trump's home in Florida. That's where he votes, too. So obviously they make a big deal when they actually go to vote. Follow the candidates. I always love when someone yells out, "Who are you voting for?" Which reminds me, we got Aaron, thank you. Saturday Night Live, I mentioned they have all these political candidates covered, literally. And they have been opening their show since they started this 50th season with the political stuff. So here's just a little clip of Dana Carvey as Joe Biden.
It's me, no Joe.
Joe Biden, thank you for coming here to support me.
Of course, my train was stopping here, so I'm being serious right now. And by the way, it's good to be back on my home turf. Guess what? As you know, I'm from the part of Pennsylvania that is a part of the state of Delaware.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for all you've done for my campaign.
I can still do more and get out there and I can say more things.
Thank you so much.
She kind of ushers him up. Yeah, in other words, I don't need your help. Thanks. Take care.
We got it covered. Yeah.
So the aftermath of whatever happens today is likely to take us perhaps even into January. So we'll see. Step one, though, is Election Day, and the weather is also something that's going to be talked about regardless. 81 degrees will break a record set in 1948. No rain till maybe late night. We get a few showers. We actually need the rain, but we're not going to get much.
No, we're not going to get much at all. I'd like to say thanks to our friends at the National Weather Service office out at the airport in Moon for posting some fun statistics about Election Day weather.
What do you got?
We got, for example, the warmest Election Day was, until now, 77 degrees back in 2004. The coldest was 21 degrees in 1960. Who won that election?
John F. Kennedy.
Bingo. The wettest day, almost an inch of rain in 1972. There was just a trace of snow. That's the only kind of snow that they've seen in an election day. A trace of snow in 1984. And guess how many of the last 37 elections have had rain?
I'm going to say only 10.
18. 49% chance of rain on election day in Pittsburgh. Isn't that something?
That's no joke.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. That's the meteorologists, because it hasn't rained or we haven't had any bad weather. That's what they do, is put stats together. In other words, they're bored. Kind of like being a weatherman in Arizona.
Right.
That's no joke. All right. So we're underway here at 7 a.m. The polls open. And throughout the morning, we're going to sprinkle in some calls from people who have gone to the polls, kind of give us your bird's eye view of how many people are there and what the scene is.
And I'm expecting people to not have to wait much because of all of the votes that have been cast already.
You know what? That's a really good point. We'll see. 866-391-1020. Keep our number handy. Whatever you see, feel free to call us or Instant Access at instantaccess@kdkradio.com. Yep, take us with you wherever you go, especially tonight if you're out and about, and we'll keep you posted on election returns. And to Andy Masick, the president and CEO of Heinz History Center, appreciate his history of this great radio station, which we're honored to be a part of, and the lineage that goes back 104 years. Standing in line to vote, would it be more enjoyable with live music? A lot of people would say absolutely. An organization called Play for the Vote has signed up tens of thousands of musicians around the country to play at voting sites.
Now, I got to be honest with you. If I was at a precinct, but waiting in line to vote, and Pat Septak
was
out there with his accordion playing like the Pennsylvania polka, that would be just so cool.
Actually, yeah.
I would really enjoy that.
Or some nice violins.
A harmonica?
Yeah.
Right? Anything would be good.
I can get my harmonica now if you want. It's no joke.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. I mean, it certainly would soothe a lot of nerves.
It could also be seen as a reminiscent of the Titanic when, depending on who you vote for... You know, they're on the deck of the
There's somebody fiddling on the deck, yeah.
Right? Exactly.
Oh, boy.
That's no joke. Aaron, that's funny. You watched that whole Saturday Night Live piece?
I did. I was cracking up in here.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Then Kamala Harris actually appeared on Saturday Night Live. I don't know what they're going to do now for Saturday. I guess a lot will depend. They have a team of writers that'll sit down and they go over the news and put it together. And so that's what they will do.
Well, they have good material to work with. There's a fair amount of characters involved in the election this last year. So
absolutely. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And I forget, they actually had Alec Baldwin, who was doing Trump when Trump was in office. You know, so it's been a while. Obviously, Alec Baldwin has been through this whole situation where he had that gun on the set.
Oh, boy.
Shot the woman. Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter what your politics are or whether you like him or you don't like him. Who would want to go through that,
that
experience, right?
Horrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
And then the legal process that's unfolded, and it's drug on and on.
It's still not over.
No, I don't think it is.
Meanwhile, Election Day, according to the University of Florida Election Lab, we mentioned approximately 82 million people have already cast their ballots. Senate elections are being held in 33 states. One special election in Nebraska. Every seat in the House of Representatives is up for grabs. And 11 states are electing governors. We are not one of them, obviously. Josh Shapiro's just in his first year.
Now, here's the thing that I think is fascinating about this election from a, you know, newsworthy standpoint. Whatever the turnout is in Pennsylvania, if Donald Trump is capable of increasing the turnout over his last turnout, does that give Dave McCormick enough votes? Will he ride the coattails in and will be Bob Casey be, you know, a former U.S. senator?
Well, that's
right?
One to watch. You know, we're going to talk to...
That could be close. It could be.
Yeah. KDKA-TV's John Delano right after the news at 7. We'll look at some of the down ballot. I don't think there's much mystery in Donald Trump, Kamala Harris... Pretty much split down the middle from everything we've seen. We'll see how it shakes out. But there are really important down ballot races, too. And one of those is United States Senator.
No, absolutely right. So, and the Senate, control of the Senate is on the line here.
Correct.
And it appears going in that the Republicans will have a maybe 2 or 3 seat majority when it's all over with. And perhaps the Democrats will be back in charge of the House.
Yeah, it's that's a big factor. And of course, we have both of those situations going on in the region. So we'll check in with John Delano, who follows all this very closely. 6:25, 35 minutes till the polls open. For this Election Day 2024. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. PennDOT, District 11 here in Allegheny County, is going to put a hold on construction projects for Election Day.
They started it yesterday.
Right.
And it's going to continue through 8 o'clock tonight.
And they did that presumably just because of the atypical traffic anticipated for Donald Trump at PPG Paints, Kerry Furniss for Kamala Harris, speaking within an hour of each other here in Pittsburgh on election eve.
So that was on all the interstates and then routes 28, 65, and 51.
That's right. 28, 65, 51. Look at you. You had it down pat.
Well, I had to write the story yesterday.
Oh.
but it's still a good idea to remind people that that's in effect until still till 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, it's paused, for the day. And that gives everyone kind of a break.
Well, it's a good idea, and especially those areas where they've got lane restrictions.
Yeah, and they've been working on some of these projects since spring. And some of this stuff, you know, construction season is supposed to be wrapping up. But to the advantage of the region, the extraordinary weather that we've had has allowed them to keep working. And hopefully they've gained on some of these projects some time that they would have normally had to suspend because of inclement weather like heavy rain.
And the plus on all of this is for commuters like you and I, that stretch of 79 going north now that's well north of the Moon Interchange where the new pavement begins, man, what a great ride. all the way to the Neville Island Bridge. It's just as smooth as you can go.
And it's taken, how long was that process?
And that piece of road, we're talking about 79 between the bridge and coming down to the Parkway West Interchange. Boy, was that a rough piece of road for a long time.
And they've got some major projects they still haven't wrapped, like McKnight Road.
Although I was on McKnight last week, and I was it seemed remarkable to me that they made a lot of progress there.
And I'm thinking they're all going to take a break for the day. So we're going to check in at the polls we have from KDK TV, Barry Pintar. Let's check in with him. He's in Ross Township before the polls open. Good morning, Barry.
Hey, yeah, good morning, Larry. Yeah, it's getting kind of busy here already. We got here about 4 o'clock. They were opening the doors, the workers here, at about 5, poll workers showing up at probably about 6. And I got to say already there's a slight line inside, nothing terrible, but about 4 precincts report here. So they are expecting long lines, to be sure.
Yeah, well, at least it's warm enough now. Typically, it would be a lot colder. That helps, I guess.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, though, brother, I'm going to coach. I will tell you this. Anyone who's heading out, if you're going to be standing outside, I would say take the gloves. I mean, my hands have been cold out here this morning. If you're inside, you should be okay. But there's definitely a little nip in the air. But, certainly worth it to be a part of this exciting electoral process, I have to say.
Oh, certainly exciting, Barry. And I'm curious to know, with as many people who have voted early in Pennsylvania, like it's around 2 million, is that going to show up at the polls, or are more people going to be voting anyway?
Yeah. So, Larry, you bring up a very interesting point that many people don't understand. In Pennsylvania, they cannot count the absentee or mail-in ballots until today. Now, keep that in mind, coupling with the thought that Pennsylvania is a all-important swing state. So I don't think it is a stretch to say we may not know who the next president of the United States will be until as late as Friday, because Pennsylvania being such a key state and being a state where they can't legally count the mail-in ballots until today, it may take days to go through all those. So as much as everyone wants to know by the end of the day today who the new president is going to be, I don't know that that's a realistic hope.
All right, Barry, appreciate the time. Know you got to get back to it on TV. Thank you.
You got it, brother. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
All right, that's Barry Pintar with KDK Television.
And he brings up a good point here about the ballot counting, because while that may be the case in the state of Pennsylvania in general, in Allegheny County, it's the opposite. We're going to know what the mail-in vote results are at 8 o'clock. Within seconds after 8 o'clock, they'll have counted them, and they'll be ready to go. So, and I think that we'll probably have final results in Allegheny County around midnight.
Yeah.
It's too bad that they can't do this in other large counties, but for some reason.
Correct. So we don't know a lot of things. There's a lot of gray area, a lot of things up in the air in terms of how long it'll take to know. And then after that, the challenges that are sure to come. So it's going to be a process.
I have a feeling that more people are going to participate in the election. I don't know how many more than the election before. I think the election before we had like a 6.5% increase in participation. I think this could be that again. And the reason why I think that, Larry, is because of the sheer number of people who are voting early.
Yeah, 82 million people. And by the way, the first numbers are in from Dixville Notch just after midnight. Traditionally, little town, tiny town in New Hampshire. 6 people voted, and we do have the results. 3 for Donald Trump, 3 for Kamala Harris.
What else would it have been?
Right. So it doesn't really tell you much, except that the vote, at least from all the polls and everything we've seen, is pretty much stretched right down the middle. Within the margins of error.
Absolutely it is. In the top battleground states, it says Trump plus 2.8 in Arizona. It says Trump plus 0.6 in Nevada. It says Harris plus 0.4 in Wisconsin. Harris plus 0.5 in Michigan. In Pennsylvania, Trump plus 0.4. North Carolina, Trump plus 1.2. Georgia, Trump plus 1.3. All of those are within that 3 to 5% swing.
And the countdown continues. 17 minutes till the polls open. 9 minutes till the polls open. This is News Radio KDK, Larry Richard with Paul Rasmussen. And as soon as the polls open, they'll be open until 8 o'clock tonight. And again, if you have a mail-in ballot in hand that you didn't mail in, obviously you have to hand-deliver that today. There are some exceptions. I don't know if it's too late for some of the people who may not be mobile, but this is it. So,
and do I have it right? You can still go to your polling place with your mail-in ballot and hand it in right there, right?
But yeah, you must have identification. What about security at election places around the country? CBS's Naomi Ruckum reports.
For those who didn't vote early or by mail and are braving the polls today, expect a lot more security than we saw 4 years ago. Much of that will fall on state and local officials, but the federal government is backing them up. Bottom line, they don't want violence or another contested election. Election day is here, and law enforcement is working to prevent another 2020 debacle from marring election integrity. In Washington, D.C., businesses are boarding up. Extra fencing has been set up outside the White House and the vice president's home. And the FBI's Election Security Command Center is running around the clock, on the lookout for any and all potential security threats.
Those threats include criminal threats, such as threats to election workers, foreign malign influence, cyber threats, and acts of domestic violence.
In the battleground state of Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia District Attorney.
And welcome to Election Day 2024. I'm Larry Richard, along with
anybody who thinks
anchor man
to play militia,
Paul Rasmussen, and we are joined by KDK TV's political analyst, John Delano. John, polls are open. You're up and ready to go.
During the last presidential election,
we sure are. Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Pittsburgh. Very big day for the United States of America, and Pittsburgh
officials
central, really, for the carrying of the state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. A lot depends on who shows up to vote over the next number of hours.
I think a lot of people, collectively, no matter who you're voting for, will be happy. The political ads will end today. That sets probably the one thing we could all agree on.
And across the nation,
no question about it. These ads have been, well, we can talk about it. They've been awful. They've really, really been the worst and most negative ads I've seen in my 30 years of working at KDK TV.
And that said,
that's relatively common. At this point,
a couple of things that are really important today from a practical standpoint. You mentioned this,
and
last time we talked, you brought it up. That is,
if you're holding a mail-in ballot that you didn't mail, I find interesting the comments that were made by the
vote counts. What
the district attorney out in Philadelphia.
Well, you have two options. One is to you can actually still deliver it
persuasion
to the county elections bureau.
And he has a reputation for being
you can also take
PA.
Your ballot to
so
your
that,
polling
that has changed
place.
Dramatically here.
They will destroy it or they
know.
Will
I'm
invalidate it
Philly,
and allow you to vote
DA
in
there.
Person.
He,
at that polling place. That's probably the easiest thing
they tried to
most
impeach
people
him
to
at
do
one point.
If you've not returned your mail-in ballot. And we know that as of yesterday morning,
public officials
there were still some 300,000 mail-in ballots across Pennsylvania that had not yet
Five
been
minutes.
Returned.
Oh,
till
wow.
The polls
so
goodness.
There are a lot of people as of yet. Now, some of them may have been mailed and delivered yesterday. I don't know what happened overnight. But the fact is that there were still tens of thousands of people who had asked for a mail-in ballot, gotten them, but hadn't returned them yet. So you're asking the right question, Larry. And frankly, if you have a mail-in ballot, you must take it with you in order to the polling place in order to have it invalidated and let you vote in person. However, if you don't have your mail-in ballot and you ask for one, still go to your polling place and vote what they call a provisional ballot. Your ballot, your provisional ballot will not be counted tonight, because the election officials will need to check later this week to make sure that they didn't get a mail-in ballot from you and you're trying to vote twice. But So there are mechanisms. There's no excuse for to not vote at all. I mean, you got to go to the polls, whether you have a mail-in ballot or not. Go to that you didn't cast. Go to the poll and vote either provisionally or through this system where they invalidate your mail-in ballot. So if you've already voted by mail and you have no reason to believe that it didn't get there, then don't worry.
Now, John, we've been told that 2 million mail-in ballots have been returned in the Commonwealth. And the question that comes up for me is, with participation going up, especially among registered Republican voters, do you see this as a trend that more people are going to participate overall, or are we just getting an earlier number and it's going to be about the same as it was last year?
Yeah, it's a good question, Paul. We had 6.9 million Pennsylvanians vote, I believe, 4 years ago. I think we're going to get more than that this year. How much more, I don't know. The question with respect to Republicans and Democrats, Chris.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Because you don't know how people are voting just because they're registered in a party. What we did see happen this year is that more Democrats and individuals switch parties to the Republican Party. But in my view, they were really reflecting what they've already been, how they've been voting for years.
Right.
Because we have Democrats in many of the outlying counties who have actually been voting Republican for years, and I think they finally caught up to their own reality and registered as a Republican. The state of Pennsylvania has about 350,000 more Democrats than Republicans, but mind you, we have over 1 million unaffiliated or independent voters. And those folks are the ones who, if the Democrats vote Democrat and the Republicans vote Republicans, the decisions will be made by the independents, not by either party, because there's so many more of them now than we used to have.
We're with KDK TV's John Delano. That said, the numbers are in from Dixville's Notch election in New Hampshire. They do this after midnight. All six registered voters in Dixville Notch voted, and we have a 3-3 split. That's not a surprise, is it, John?
No, not at all. And it's a crazy system they have up there. Apparently, if you get 100% of your voters voting at midnight, you can then open the ballot box and count them. And that's what they do. If they only have six voters, can you imagine trying to do that in the city of Pittsburgh or Allegheny County or any of our surrounding counties? You got to get everyone to vote, though. If somebody misses, you can't open those ballots because they have all day to vote, you know?
One thing's for sure, almost half the country is going to be exhilarated at some point, and the other half will be heartbroken. And right. Security at election polling places locally, have they stepped up security here? They have in some other states.
Yes, they have across Pennsylvania. The Secretary of State, Al Schmidt, announced yesterday all kinds of measures, I think, that they were doing, as have the law enforcement folks. I don't think there's any real belief that there's something untoward's going to happen. But I think because of heightened tensions, they're just playing it smart. And truthfully, you know, it's hard for me to imagine something going wrong in terms of individuals who are acting out. But let's hope none of that happens. We've had very good elections in Pennsylvania. They've always been fair. They've been free. They've been secured. And they've been safe. The biggest issues usually have to do with, you know, do you have all the equipment working? Does the poll open on time at 7 o'clock? Does the judge of elections get there on time to open up everything? Those are the kinds of questions. They have nothing to do with security, but they do delay sometimes the ability to vote right at 7 a.m., which was the time our polls all are supposed to open.
Now, I know that Secretary Schmidt said that we've never had a result on election night, a final result.
Correct.
And I understand that, but how is it that we can have in Allegheny County How can we know that the results of the election, like right after 8 o'clock, the mail-in results, and then right after midnight, how is it that the rest of the state can't do this too?
Well, you know, I credit Rich Fitzgerald, our former county executive, with really, really hitting the ball out of the park after the 2020 election. They did everything they could to make sure that mail-in ballots were counted and processed quickly. Now, under Pennsylvania law, unlike Florida and many other states, Pennsylvania polling places, the voting, the tabulation cannot begin until 7 a.m. this morning. That's when the ballots that were mailed in are now beginning to get opened. And you have to open, pull out, make sure the secrecy ballot is okay, pull it out, another envelope, and then flatten it and then insert it into these readers. And so there's some time involved. But certainly beginning in 2020, when we really had, because of COVID, so many more people voting by mail, Rich Fitzgerald really put in place in Allegheny County a system that works and has worked exceedingly well. In 2 years ago, the state legislature passed Act 88 to provide additional monies to all counties who wish to get better assistance, hire more people, better equipment, and most of the counties accepted that money. And as a result, they now cannot stop counting. They have to start counting at 7 a.m., and they cannot stop counting at midnight. Some counties used to stop their counting process, let everyone go home to sleep, and then come back the next day to finish counting. Well, you can't do that anymore if you take this, particularly if you take this state additional money. And so the counting now goes much faster than it used to go. But it would be helped a great deal if Pennsylvania would do what the Republican state of Florida does, which is allow the election officials to at least open the ballots. They don't have to count the mail-in ballots, but they are allowed to open them so they're processed and ready to be counted instantaneously. You'll notice in Florida tonight, once their polls close, they're going to have a whole swath of millions of votes cast right away because they've been counted all day today. Hopefully, most of our counties will be able to do the same thing. The one county that everybody worries about is Philadelphia. And it's not been quite as quick over there as it is here. And although everybody's telling us that it's going to be faster this time than in 2020, we shall see.
All right, John, we have some more questions for you. We'll check back in the next half hour. Thank you. Appreciate your time on a very busy day.
Hey, always great to be. Yeah, very busy. We'll be back with you.
All right, John Delano, KDK TV political analyst. Great information there, too, for voters. Every Tuesday at this time, we check in with another medical professional brought to you by Independence Health System Expert Care here. And today we welcome Dr. Michael Swerk, who is the Medical Director, Thoracic Surgery and the Advanced Lung Center at Independence Health System. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Great to be here this morning.
November is Lung Cancer Awareness, and fitting that you join us today. Let's start with an overview of the disease and its particular incidence in Pennsylvania in this region of our state.
Right. Well, listen, November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Last Saturday at La Trobe, we had over 500 people join us in a walk to promote the importance of lung cancer awareness and lung cancer screening. In Pennsylvania, the estimate's about 11,000 people get lung cancer a year. Very high rates in western Pennsylvania, in Westmoreland County, Allegheny County, Butler County. And now the whole basis of what we're doing in healthcare is trying to find cancer before it becomes harmful. Early detection is the key.
And that said, what are some of the things that you're able to do at Independence Health System's Advanced Lung Center?
Well, we started a lung cancer screening program, and the postulate was, if you find cancer early, you can treat it and you can cure it. So what happened was several years ago, there was data coming out that if you got a low-dose CAT scan, and this is just a detailed X-ray that takes pictures of the lung, if you get that CAT scan and you are at risk for lung cancer, your chance of dying from lung cancer over your lifetime goes way down. So we put together a comprehensive program, and at this point, we've screened over 25,000 scans looking for lung cancer in our community in thousands and thousands of patients. So the goal is to find the tumor early, treat it early, and keep people healthy and cancer-free.
Obviously, as a physician in this particular discipline, smoking is probably a huge factor for a lot of people. And what are other risk factors for lung cancer?
Sure. Well, 80 to 85% of lung cancer is related to a prior history of smoking, for sure. So the people we're trying to screen are people between the ages of 50 and 80 years old. These are the current recommendations. They will change. And people that have smoked an equivalent of 20 pack years, meaning a pack of cigarettes a day per year for 20 years. What's happening now is we're seeing younger people getting cancer, all types of cancers, especially lung cancer, especially in women. So things that are other risk factors are asbestos, radon exposure from the soil, and really the pollution that you breathe every day in industry. It dusts certain types of metals and things. But number one risk factor, smoking, hasn't changed. And really the focus, Larry, is going to have to be on preventing people from smoking and dealing with smoking cessation. We're doing good in our society. We have to do better.
That said, once you detect cancer, what happens next?
Well, what we do is we run what's called a nodule program. So many people get CAT scans and they'll find spots on their lung. The question is, you have to go to a balanced team of professionals and they have to look at this and say, is this just a benign growth like a skin mole, or is this something more serious? So when we scan you, we'll bring you in within a day or two. We'll show you your CAT scan. And then we'll start a whole program based on trying to figure out whether or not that lung nodule is benign or malignant. And if it is, you know, we have a whole battery of things to take care of it. So our goal is to take care of people in our community close to home and provide outstanding care.
And reach out to Independence Health System for questions. Medical Director, Thoracic Surgery and Advanced Lung Center at Independence Health System, Dr. Michael Swerk. Appreciate the work you and your team does each and every day, Doctor. Thank you.
Appreciate what you do. Good luck today. It's a big day.
It is a big day. You're right. And this brought to you by Independence Health System, expert care here at News Radio KDKA, kind of built on that. Larry Richard with our anchor man, Paul Rasmussen, and joining us from KDKA-TV for an update, political analyst John Delano. John, I'm looking at the battleground states, and you're acutely aware that we're one of them. The others, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Wisconsin, both candidates, both running mates of the candidates have been all over. The fact that Donald Trump and Kamala Harris were here yesterday speaks volumes of how important Pennsylvania and southwestern Pennsylvania are as well. This may surprise a lot of people in the region that this feels like this election was the most important ever for this state.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Larry and Paul. Good to be with you and all your listeners. Pennsylvania is key. It's particularly key for the Democrats because the last Democrat to win the White House without Pennsylvania, if you can believe, was Harry S. Truman in 1948. He lost Pennsylvania, still won the White House. That's even before I was born, guys. So we're going back a long time. Democrats to win the White House have, the ones who have won since Harry Truman, have always carried Pennsylvania. On the Republican side, it's almost just as needy we are, although George W. Bush did win the White House, as did Richard Nixon. Those are the two in the last 100 years, Republicans who won the White House without Pennsylvania. So when you're Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, you're looking at our state saying, gee, if I win Pennsylvania, I almost got it, you know? And, of course, when you look at the Electoral College map, you've named the seven battleground states. The truth is that if Kamala Harris wins the normal Democratic states around the country, like New York and California and most of New England and all that, she only needs to win Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania to have the Electoral College. It's the so-called blue wall, they call it. But we're not predictable, and this year we're particularly not predictable. And so it really could well come down to Pennsylvania.
John, is there any trend that you've been looking at or anything that has caught your attention that that you're curious to, more than anything else, to find out by the time we get to tomorrow?
Yeah, well, you know, there's been a lot of talk among the pundits about the poll out in Iowa that I don't know whether we've been reporting it much here in Pennsylvania, but there was an Iowa poll, which is a red state that's been voting for Trump by big margins, 8 points, 9 points last time. It showed Kamala Harris ahead by 3 points. It's the Des Moines Register poll. And the pollster has some cred because she has been very good at predicting past elections. But nobody's quite sure whether that what that really means. We're all looking at it because it suggests women power. It suggests, because there are more women, there's 53% of the electorate are women. And both older women and younger women, if they're voting for Kamala Harris in this big way, you know, they could sweep every state in the nation if they all were of one mind. Now, we know plenty of women who support Donald Trump, so you can't make that gross generalization. But the fact is that there's a lot of speculation as to whether the gender gap, and the same is true with men, by the way. In the latest CBS polling shows that Trump is ahead among males by 14 points. Kamala Harris is ahead among women by 13 points. That's a 27-point gap between men and women and how they view this presidential election. So the key is, who comes out to vote today? Men, women, both, same numbers, more one, more the other, who knows?
And all the candidates have been really pushing for people to get engaged and vote. And we may have a record turnout.
Yeah, I think so. I think, we had just under 7 million people vote in the last presidential election. I think it's going to go north of that. It should go north of that. In this election, we've seen just heightened interest by a lot of folks. And I think the fact that the polls still show this, the CBS poll shows it a dead even tie in Pennsylvania, that means that every vote counts. No one can say my vote won't count, because in this election, your vote does count. There's just no reason to not vote unless you can't stand anybody, you know?
Well, and there's certainly, whatever the number is, a percentage of people who aren't happy with either candidate enough not vote. In some cases, it's the lesser of two evils in their mind. Bottom line is, we'll probably have a record turnout, but we might not know who the true winner is. And that will create additional anxiety, however long that lasts, right?
Yes, and it's true not just for Pennsylvania, but for the two other battleground states, particularly Arizona and Nevada, could take much longer. They did last time than Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania took until Saturday in 2020 to finally declare Biden the winner. Now, he won by 80,000 votes out of 6.9 million. That's actually close.
Yeah.
The percentage, you know, it's close. And when Trump won in 2016, he won by 42,000 votes. So really, really close. So people should not declare victory tonight. There's just no way we're going to know tonight. But we will know trend lines. And that's going to be helpful, I think. And you're going to find analysts like me up until 2 a.m. talking about this kind of stuff based on the trend lines that we're seeing. But to know who the absolute winner is, unless there's a landslide. Now, if there's a landslide for one or the other, we'll know. But, no one's predicting that right yet.
Well, John, we always appreciate your input. I know it's a long day for you. This is, in some ways, what you were born to do, and we'll look forward to your coverage on KDK-TV. Thank you.
Well, good, and I look forward to being back with you guys, I know, later in the week. We're going to talk. There's more to say.
You got it. John Delano.
Great. Have a great election day, everybody.
You too. Serena, November 15th, Dave Matthews Band, and we have a pair of tickets for you right now, 412-922-1020. Paul, pick a number.
11.
Caller number 11 will make you our winner. 412-922-1020. Dave Matthews, very popular, certainly here, and he's packing PPG Paints again November 15th.
I remember when I was living right across the river from a ballpark, looking down and seeing a sold-out PNC Park for Dave Matthews.
Yeah, and he's done the same at Star Lake, and he's kind of his own musical genre.
Absolutely.
So we're going to continue to give tickets away all this week in the Big K Morning Show.
To our era, he is what the Grateful Dead was back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. You know what I'm saying? They had their own subset.
Yeah. And Fish. People follow.
That's
they,
right.
They still follow Fish and the Grateful Dead around everywhere they go. We had a gal, she still works for us. I won't mention her name, but she is like that with the Grateful Dead and Fish and Dave Matthews. So she goes to all the shows she possibly can.
One of the things that makes a Grateful Dead concert or a Dave Matthews concert is the atmosphere. It's the people who go and enjoy a good time.
Yeah, and I think after this political season, people are going to want to detach a little bit.
Same kind of crowd that would show up for Jimmy Buffett, just a different genre and a different, you know, demographic. But that's that same let's all unwind and have a nice time vibe.
Imagine that.
Yeah. More now than ever, right?
Right. And, Paul, you mentioned something very interesting. They're looking at counties, individual counties around the country that they feel will be the most important indicators.
And what have we been told over and over again?
Erie County,
right?
In Pennsylvania. But a surprise.
Yeah, I was reading a Wall Street Journal on my scan of the WSJ before I came into work, and they said these are some of the counties to watch for key voting groups around the country. And I think they named maybe about 10 to a dozen of them. And there was one county in Pennsylvania, Fayette County. Wow.
How about that?
So I didn't have time to get into the details of it, but I want to see what it is about the demos there and the way that the registrations are distributed to see what's going on.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Eckerman Paul Rasmussen. And we've been getting reports from polling areas around the region. It's in many cases brisk, not overwhelming, but there have been hundreds of people. For instance, early this morning, Southside District 17, Victory Church in Cranberry, a polling site. Pretty brisk this morning. Also, David Ballarado, one of our reporters, he said he was the 49th voter at his polling place. He did not see lines around the block, and this is in the Shadyside area. He said in 2020 there were lines around the block, which is interesting because so many people had also, Paul, as you know, they had put in mail-in ballots back then. So we understand almost 82 million people have already voted, and the count, that's a significant number with 168 million, give or take, are registered voters in the United States and territories.
So that leads to the obvious question, Larry. Are we going to have more people participating in this election than we did the last? And there was a surge for the last one. So curious to see that how that number turns out. Also, by the way, I've only seen so far, at least on my social media feeds, one hiccup in Allegheny County in terms of getting a polling place open and up and running right away.
Yeah, they rely on people that don't do this year-round full-time for a living. These are, people that are trained and hired for the specific purpose of the elections.
Right. Apparently in this particular case, and I don't know what the location is, it wasn't named, but it was a combination of a missing person and some missing materials. And, of course, they get right to work on that.
I remember some election days where the person that was supposed to open the polling site slept in.
Yeah. And I've heard the stories before. Yeah.
People would call us, 866-391-1020, by the way, is our number. If you found anything in particular to be of issue, let us know. 866-391-1020. Or if you just want to weigh in, we also have Instant Access. That's an email at instantaccess@kdkradio.com. So I believe we're going to check in with Barry Pintar from KDK TV. He was out at a polling place in Ross. Barry, good morning.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Well, the question is, how's it going? How are you doing?
Yeah, you know what? I just interviewed someone literally 15 seconds ago and was just asking them those questions. How's it been going? He said, you know, it's been going so smoothly. I got in and out very quickly. When we first arrived here, it was there was a line that went to the gymnasium here. I'm here at the Ross Township Municipal Building that went to the outside. But once they opened the polling place doors, people got in, people got out. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's going very smoothly. And if you've been, you know, watching us on KDK or KDK Plus this morning, one of my focuses has been safety and security. And, you know, I try to emphasize the fact that we don't want to scare people or freak people out. But, of course, there's no question that 2024 has been a...
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Contentious election year. So, you know, the FBI has a command post set up in Washington, D.C. Our acting police chief has said, you know, they're ready to move on a moment's notice. But here's the good news for you, your listeners, anyone wanting to go to the polls. As of right now, I'm happy to say that in our region, absolutely no election-related threats throughout our state, throughout our entire nation. Nothing has been reported. So that's a long answer to your question, how's it going? Larry, I think it's going really well, actually.
And Barry, Paul Rasmussen here. I would like to make the observation. I think one of the reasons that the voting is moving along at a nice clip is it's a simple ballot. There's not a lot to vote on.
Yeah, you know, Paul, I noticed that myself, too. It's just a very quick process. And I'll tell you, I mean, you know, it'd be interesting to see if you agree or disagree with me on this one. Unlike many election years in the past, I just have doubts that anyone is standing there going, I wonder which direction I want to go.
Absolutely,
you know,
right.
I mean, people have made up their minds, and we're just not hearing from all these undecided voters this time around.
All right, Barry, appreciate the update. How long are you going to be tethered there since 4 a.m. in Ross Township?
Yeah, I know, right? Well, as you know, we're on from 7 to 9 KDK Plus, so as I'm looking at my watch, I got a live hit at 8:30, and then I think we're going to actually go over to watch Dave McCormick's wife cast his ballots. As I understand, he's already voted by mail, but over at Chatham, his wife is going to vote, so we're going to go over and shoot that, and we'll have that for you tonight on the KDK News at 4, 5, and 6.
Look for Barry Pintar. Thank you, Barry. All right, and
by the way, I would just like to say again what a terrific reporter Barry is. We're lucky to have him back from Los Angeles.
I actually went to college with him at Clarion.
That's so cool, yeah.
Jerry in Homestead. Good morning. Did you vote yet?
Yes, sir.
And where did you vote?
Homestead.
No, I mean specifically. Where's your polling place?
Homestead, PA.
Yeah, I mean, where is the... Usually it's at a church, a hall?
A fire hall. It's the fire hall.
Okay, that's what I was looking for. And how was the turnout?
It was pretty good. Not lines not too long. I was just wondering, I didn't think you were allowed to have any political clothes or anything like that when you go to vote.
That I'm not sure. You, as a voter?
Yeah, as a voter, but actually what concerned me more was a poll watcher that had a Black Lives Matter shirt on.
A poll watcher.
Now, yes. Now I don't have a problem with it, but I just think it could cause some controversy down there at the polling place.
Well, we'll check into that. Thanks for bringing it to our attention. All right, Jerry.
All right, thank you.
You got it. And stick around. We'll check in with some more people that have been out and voting around the region.
I'll do some researching right now about are there any regulations or guidelines for
a poll watcher?
Yeah, poll watchers in their attire.
Well, I'm certain that as a citizen, you can wear a shirt that.
Yeah, I would assume that's a First Amendment issue.
Yeah. As a poll watcher, I don't know. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Paul Rasmussen. And Jerry called in from Homestead, asked a question. Could a poll watcher wear a Black Lives Matter T-shirt? And interesting, Paul, you did some research, and you're not permitted if it is a political clothing or to wear anything, right?
Right, yeah.
How do they describe it?
This is guidance from this election from the Department of State. And what they're saying here is, hold on a second. I've got to scroll my way back down to it. Yeah, you can't wear anything with a partisan message on it or a clothing or any kind of like a button or a sign of some kind. Poll watchers have to work strictly with the officials at the polls. They're not supposed to have any interactions with voters, that type of thing. But does a Black Lives Matter shirt, apply here or not? I wouldn't know, what the guidelines are in detail.
That's a great question.
I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing. It's multiple pages.
You mean for the guidelines?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
I mean, it's very, very explicit, very well lined out.
Well, I don't have any official answer to that question, but anyway...
See if I can find the exact language here for you before we move on. Gosh, there's so much here. even like bringing firearms, the role of police officers and other peace officers. This is very detailed. So there we go. Can't find it right now.
All right. So 866-391-1020. If you've been out and about, give us a feel for what your polling place was like, number of voters.
Here we go. Yeah. Poll watchers must present credentials from the County Board of Elections to gain access. Have to be appointed. Right. And then down here below it says, no specifically partisan messages. So that'd be like a display, a sign, a button, a sticker, something like that, and or clothing.
Gotcha. Just checked in from Northway Christian Church in Wexford, a polling place. Line looks about 30 deep right now. And people around the region out and about voting. The weather is very much in your favor, obviously. And let's see, some other people checking in. Polling places, all's quiet in terms of, we have actually less issues this morning than I can recall in other elections. And we mentioned the people that are responsible for opening the polling sites. Every year there's some issue. Somebody sleeps in, that kind of thing, right?
That's right. Normally the county will put out a pretty comprehensive list of the areas where there were problems getting started when you have, more than 1,000 places, right, around Allegheny County where people can vote.
Yeah, and
so you're going to have a problem or two along the way. That's just sheer numbers.
We should reiterate what KDK TV's political analyst John Delano told us, and that is 300,000 people haven't returned their mail-in ballots, which means if they haven't done so, they have to do so in person today, and they can do that at their polling site. And if you're one of them and you figured, well, it's too late, and you want your vote to count, then we urge you to go to your polling place with your mail-in ballot. And if you don't have it, they can provide you with a provisional to make sure you didn't vote or unable to vote twice, right?
Yep, that's why they have to hang on to it.
So we'll keep you posted, and We're also going to check in at some of the polling places, 866-391-1020. Feel free to give us a call. It's 825 in News Radio KDKA. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA Traffic, powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. Let's get the latest with Heather Zambito.
Yeah, taking a look at the Cordell and Cordell traffic cams, we can see that there's a lot of slowdowns on the major roadways around town. Parkway East is jammed before Wilkinsburg as you head into the Squirrel Hill Tunnel. Parkway West inbound lining up the top of Green Tree Hill. The outbound side is sluggish from the 79 split to Campbell's Run. Parkway North slow between Union Avenue and Bellevue Westview. 28 stop and go approaching the Highland Park Bridge to Millvale, then slow again at the 31st Street Bridge. And 65 looking at about a 1 to 2 light delay at the McKees Rocks Bridge. With AAA Traffic on the Fives, I'm Heather Zambito on the Voice of Pittsburgh, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
And we're looking at 81 today, a record high for the date. And right now we're in the 60-degree range here around the region. Let's check in with Fran in Ross Township. Fran, you're on the Big K Morning Show.
Hey, good morning. I just want to let you know I voted up at the poll site on a convent in Ross Township off of Bellevue Road. I happen to be number 78 before 8 o'clock this morning. I've never been above a teen number when I've gone to the vote.
Well, that's interesting.
That's awesome.
You're at a convent?
Yeah, one of the convents on Bellevue Road is where the poll is located. And like I said, I walked in, the line was out the door. Everybody was, you know, just behaving themselves. Nobody was out of line anywhere, but yeah, I was number 78, which completely floors me because I'm usually like 12, 13, 14. And to have that many people before 8 o'clock in the morning at that poll site surprises me.
Well, I appreciate you checking in, Fran. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day, y'all. Bye.
You too. So far, so good.
That would seem to support the idea that more people are going to participate. We've had a big early vote, and now we're getting at least one report of a strong turnout. So, and people aren't saying that we're not hearing people talk about, hey, having to stand in line for any length of time.
No, I would imagine to Barry Pintar, who we talked to from KDK TV's point, when he said people aren't taking a lot of time once they know who they're going to vote for.
There's, right.
It's not like, oh, let me see.
And he's up at Ross. They've got four different precincts that vote at that location.
Yeah, and Mike joins us from Ross Township. Mike, good morning. You're on a Big K Morning Show.
Good morning. Yeah, just stopped at Keating Fire Company right off the Perrysville exit at 279 North. Nice voter turnout, steady stream of people going in and out. Lines just starting to accumulate around 4 to 5 people, but home. Everyone was enjoying themselves. Everyone felt good to get that vote in.
Just get it done, right?
Just get out there and do it.
So what are you going to do tonight? Are you going to have a watch party or?
I don't think we're going to know any answers unless there's a landslide, like you guys said earlier this morning, but I'll keep an eye on it throughout the day. Obviously it's been months of time invested in it, researching and following everything. So it's exciting. I mean, it's something that Americans get to do that you should be proud of. So yeah, I mean, I'll check it out, but I think we'll know probably later this week.
All right. Appreciate you checking in, Mike. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Carl in Plum. How's the voter turnout there, Carl?
7:30 this morning at the Plum Community Center. They were lined up around the building.
Is that typical, or is that more than
No, that's not typical at all for where I walk across the street and go voting. So,
okay.
I just want to let you know. And I saw this morning, too, on 22, Route 22 in Murrysville, PA, there were people walking down the road carrying flags.
Carrying what?
And I guess carrying flags, American flags. And then once, I guess, the police saw them, they got behind them, and they're escorting them down Route 22.
That is awesome.
Okay.
And that was in Murrysville. So.
All right. Thanks for checking in.
Absolutely. Enjoy your day.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Carl in Plum.
Carl in Plum. Thank you.
We got you. All right. And let's check in with the update here with Paul Rasmussen.
Standing by. 62 with mostly cloudy skies, and it's 8:30. I'm Paul Rasmussen. Supporters jammed Vice President Kamala Harris's final Pittsburgh rally last night. News Radio KDKA's Rob Taylor was there.
Some 15,000 people packed into the Cary Blast Furnaces in Swissville and Rankin to hear Kamala Harris in person one last time before Election Day.
All right, so Pittsburgh, this is it. And the moment.
Let's just jump in right here. Larry has just been told that we have a special visitor on the Big K Morning Show. Larry, go ahead.
Vice President of the United States, Democratic candidate for president, and now Saturday Night Live alum, Kamala Harris. Welcome to the world's first radio station, KDKA.
Oh, it's wonderful to be with you. Good morning. Good morning to all of you.
You have been busy, and you've been here in Pittsburgh 10 times, including yesterday. How was your visit?
Well, I love Pittsburgh, and it was a good visit. It was, you know, I've been spending time in Pittsburgh to talk with folks about the challenge they face, their dreams, their ambitions, and what we can do to address those issues. And I'm proud to have a lot of support out of Pittsburgh. It, you know, it's a historic city. It's a place where, you know, we know that we should be always invested in American workers, American industry, American families. So I thank the people of Pittsburgh for always being so welcoming and for their leadership.
And I would imagine you know in great detail the issues that are of most concern to people as you have traveled across the country and as vice president, the economy being one, border issues and crisis. You have been blamed for the current status of that. How do you react?
Well, you know, I think that there's no question in anyone's mind. We have to be honest and direct about it. We have a broken immigration system. It's been broken for a long time through, frankly, Democratic and Republican administrations, and we can fix it. The Congress through the United States Senate, some of the most conservative members came up with a bill, which I supported. We were a part of crafting that bill to put more resources into putting more agents at the border, putting more resources into stemming the flow of fentanyl, which is killing people around our country, more resources into combating human trafficking, something I have actually done when I was the prosecutor. And sadly, my opponent, when he learned that the bill was happening, told them to kill it, to not do it, because he wants to run on a problem instead of fixing a problem. Larry, I feel very strongly that we have in our grasp the ability to solve problems, and that leaders have to be in the business of finding common sense, practical solutions, which on immigration, on what we can do to bring down prices, what we can do to support small businesses. I have a plan that is very detailed and specific. I invite people to go to my website, KamalaHarris.com. But my plan is about getting things done. On the other side of the equation, in this election, you have a person who spends full time talking about himself, grievances, an enemies list. Look, on January 20th, one of us is going to walk into the Oval Office. I am telling you, you can count on my opponent walking in there with his enemies list. I, on the other hand, will walk in there with my to-do list on behalf of the American people, bringing down the cost of living, dealing with what we can do to support our small businesses. Pittsburgh has extraordinary small businesses. They are part of the backbone of America's economy. The work that we can do, for example, to bring down the cost of living for young parents with a $6,000 tax credit. These are the detailed plans I have. Helping first-time homebuyers with a $25,000 down payment assistance. About specific plans that will make people's lives better and tap into the ambition, the aspirations, and the dreams of the American people.
We're with Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. You know how divisive this is. It's been hard on all of us as citizens. How do you begin to mend the divide?
First, it has to be that you want to. And I will tell you, to your point, it pains me that, you know, frankly, for the last decade, there's been this suggestion that Americans should be, you know, divided, pointing their fingers at each other, when the fact is, and I know it, it's a lived experience, we all have so much more in common than what separates us. And we rise and fall together. And when we love our country and show our expression of our love of country, it has to include understanding the connection we all have and working toward our common goals, regardless of who you voted for. I'll tell you, I believe in the promise of America. I see it every day. I see it in people who are working hard to take care of their families. I see it in women who are fighting for reproductive freedom and the men who are supporting them. I see it in Republicans who have never voted for a Democrat before, who are putting the Constitution of the United States ahead of party. And I'm telling you, just I see it around our country. I'm traveling. People are yearning for an approach that is about bringing us together. They're frankly exhausted with this era that has been about dividing us. Listen, we're a democracy. We're always going to have disagreements. We like good debates, healthy debates. We're Americans. But leadership should be about trying to find common ground and common sense solutions that bring people together through consensus and compromise, not constantly berating and putting people down. That's not about progress for our country.
Vice President Kamala Harris, if it's President Harris, what is your first order of business?
Bringing down the cost of living for folks. I have a package of plans that address that, everything from what we need to do to create, for the example, a first-time national ban on corporate price gouging on groceries, what we can do around tax credits for young families, tax credits and support for small businesses, including what we can do around a $25,000 down payment assistance for first-time home buyers. So I have a whole package of issues that are all directed at bringing down the cost of living. We're going to also need to deal with fixing what's going on with our broken immigration system. It's been broken for a long time under both the Democratic and Republican administrations. And so I'm going to be submitting that. And then also doing the work of investing in American industry, American workers, and making sure that we are competitive globally in the 21st century, and that, frankly, we win the competition with China for the 21st century. So those are my priorities.
And where will you be tonight on this very important day?
I will be at my alma mater at Howard University. And before that, I have a tradition of having dinner with my family. And so we will do that. I have a lot of my family staying with us. And during the day, I'll be today all day talking with folks and reminding them to get out to vote. And on that point, just I'll remind your listeners, today is election day. The polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Go to iwillvote.com to make sure you know where you can vote. And even if you've requested a mail-in ballot, you can just go to your polling place and vote. You can bring it with you or not. You can just go to your polling place and vote. So I would urge everyone to just remember that in our democracy, the people get to decide, and your vote is your power.
Vice President Kamala Harris, appreciate you taking time for us here in Pittsburgh. Thank you.
I thank you. Please have a good day. Thank you so much.
And our coverage is just beginning on this election day. It'll go through Marty Griffin, 10 to 2, Colin Dunlap through the afternoon, and then we have our whole team assembled for tonight. We've got our reporters, Tamira Rush, David Balorado. We've also got our kind of resident political analyst, Lenny McAllister, Natalie Benzavenga, Rob Pratt, and we've got Pat Septak, our news editor, everybody prepared to bring you whatever transpires through the course of the day and night. And then tomorrow morning, Paul and I will be here bright and early, and we'll pick up there. And overnight, I want to mention, we have the Next Take Pittsburgh show, which is with University of Pittsburgh students, and they will be live 1 a.m. Through the 5 o'clock hour. So that's into 5 and overnight.
Mm.
So, which is
a long night
for them, a real opportunity to get a taste of the industry and the business at a very important time.
Well, things will be unfolding while they're on the air. I mean, when I wake up tomorrow, probably I'll get up an hour or so earlier. So around 1 a.m., the polls on the West Coast will be starting to close, start to get an idea what's going on.
Well, in 2016, when I got up for the show, 3 o'clock,
Oh, what a night that was.
They had just finally confirmed that Donald Trump won in 2016.
He won Florida. That was the last big piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, but it wasn't early in the evening or even late.
No, it was at the overnight hours. Yeah.
And obviously 2020, it took a lot longer because of the number of mail-in ballots and weren't prepared yet for that kind of voting.
No.
But now it seems everybody's a little more organized. So we'll see. Bottom line is, you tune in, we'll get you the updates, whatever's going on. Have been open in Pennsylvania. Larry Richard with our anchor man, Paul Rasmussen, and our counterpart across the state, the city of Brotherly Love, one of the great radio stations in America. We've got W, Pat Loeb. Pat, good morning.
Good morning.
So what's the reaction been in terms of people showing up at the polls in and around Philadelphia?
Well, there was an early surge. I mean, long lines right out of the gate at 7 a.m. So turnout here is pretty high.
I know, Pat, just a quick survey of my X feed with the search term Pennsylvania. I'm seeing people posting all over the state, Luzerne County, York County, Erie County, 100 people lined up at 7 a.m. just to get into a precinct up in Erie County. It looks like it's a statewide thing.
Yeah, well, and this is the strategy, right? It's all about turnout in this election. It's very, very close. And will people in the population centers, you and us essentially, vote enough to overcome the more sparsely populated but much larger red zone?
Well, as we know, both parties have been really pushing people to get out and vote. It's that critical, as we know, especially here in Pennsylvania. We had Donald Trump here yesterday at our hockey arena, and then we had Kamala Harris at an old steel site, and then she came over to Philadelphia, and they've been...
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Crisscross in the state. What's the reaction generally in Philadelphia? It looks like the country split down the middle. I would imagine it's much the same there.
Well, not in Philadelphia, no. Philadelphia is deep blue. I mean, elections here, the Democrats win by, like, third-world dictatorship margins. There are more independent voters registered than Republicans in Philadelphia. So she is going to get the lion's share of the vote here.
And it's the collar counties that are really the ones that are contested between the two campaigns, right?
Well, not so much anymore. You know, that used to be the case. The collar counties were Republican and the city state Democrat. But now the collar counties have mostly gone Democratic. The only one that's kind of still purple, it's like 50-50, is Bucks County. But for the most part, southeastern Pennsylvania is going to vote for Harris.
And so I would imagine that we have, nobody can predict accurately when we're going to know for sure.
No, but, you know, the Secretary of State says that a lot has changed since 2020 when it took, four or five days. New technology, fewer mail-in ballots. So I don't think it's not going to be like 2020. We're not going to have it drawn out through the weekend, I don't think. We might not know tonight, but we might know tomorrow night.
So where are you going to be tonight, Pat?
I'm going to be at Howard University at the vice president's election night headquarters.
All right. Well, we, as always, appreciate your time, and good luck today. It's a long one for you, but it's a very important day for all of us.
Sure. Sure is.
All right. Pat Loeb from KYW, great radio station in Philly.
And besides that, we also learned just a few minutes ago, not too long ago, from the vice president herself, she was going to be getting together with her traditional family meal on election night and then going over to Howard University where Pat will be joining her.
And I mentioned, and I got to find this because I just thought it's a good kind of a feels good thing that we found with Joe Biden on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, you're going to replay this from earlier. I like this.
Little snippet. So
this is Dana Kirby. I mean, the man cracks everybody up.
So Saturday Night Live is celebrating their 50th season, and they started several weeks ago opening the show with what they typically have done with the politics, and they've added additional characters. And Dana Carvey's back, and he's been Joe Biden, and he showed up as they opened the show Saturday night.
It's me, no Joe.
Oh, Joe Biden, thank you for coming here to support me.
Of course, my train was stopping here, so I'm being serious right now. And by the way, it's good to be back on my home turf. Guess what? As you know, I'm from the part of Pennsylvania that is a part of the state of Delaware.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for all you've done for my campaign.
I can still do more and get out there and I can say more things.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, she kind of ushers, you know, ushers him
off. Well, I think the best part is he has the rhythm down. How else he'll slur a phrase or the rhythm of the way he delivers it. It's totally Biden.
And towards the, we haven't heard much from him, frankly. I mean, he's still the president of the United States, but obviously the focus has been on Harris and
Trump. He's almost disappeared from the nightly news,
in a blip, gone, right? It was daily, daily, daily. Then when he stepped down that Saturday, or it was a Sunday, it was, he disappeared, basically. But when he has spoken, and when he says, come on, I'm serious. Dana Carvey absolutely nails it. All right, coming up in the next half hour, Dave McCormick, Republican candidate for... Well, every Tuesday at this time, we check in with Lynn Hayes Freeland, our colleague, who is well-known, obviously, in Pittsburgh, spends most of her time in Atlanta, Georgia. Lynn, good morning. Happy Election Day.
Good morning, Larry. Well, you know what? I'm glad that it's here. I don't know that anything ends today, but I'm glad that it's here.
Absolutely. And first and foremost, did you get back into your home yet after the flooding from the hurricane that
I am
kept
at
you
home
out of your house for weeks and weeks?
I am back at home. I, there's still some little tweaks that have to go on, but I was able to, I think I came back in Thursday or Friday last week. So yes, I'm back at home, and man, does it feel good. You don't realize how being displaced affects you.
Well, we're glad for that. And that said, Georgia, Georgia's turnout early. There have been changes in the laws and structures, and yet Georgians have turned out in record numbers early to vote.
Well, this is the first time I ever lived in a place, Larry, where they had early voting, where you literally could go to a poll 2 weeks ahead of Election Day and vote. So I had decided I was going to take advantage of that because you just never know what might happen if you leave it down to the last day. I was surprised at how long the lines were for early voting because I didn't anticipate that. And I think because Georgia has gone through so many changes with the rules and the regulations, and you can't give somebody water if they're, in the heat for so long, I think a lot of people just wanted to get it done.
Yeah, I remember that story about somebody handed a bottle of water to somebody in line and it became this huge issue. They even mocked it on Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David. That said, what about Georgia's critical. Obviously, it was in the last presidential election in particular. What's the mood generally in Georgia about this election this time?
How would I describe the mood? I think the thing that's most interesting about this is while you hear all the polls and you see all this information, I do think there's a core group of voters, and those are the newly registered voters that aren't included in any of the polling. So I think there is a lot of excitement about what it could mean. I know the other day they had a march. There's an area down here called the Atlanta University Center, and it's Morehouse Spelman, Clark and Morris Brown, four universities, all within walking distance. And the students from all four of those colleges walked down the street to an early voting facility. They all said that this was their first time voting. So I think that's the kind of excitement that people are seeing here. You don't know what it means, because at the end of the day, you don't know who people are voting for. But just the fact that they're caught up and in the system is exciting.
We're with Lynn Hayes Freeland, and I'm, you know, kind of, I get a sense that people feel good that they can finally take care of their vote today if they haven't already, like yourself, kind of get it off their chest, and then everybody's going to sit back, and, you know, half the country is going to be miserable when the end results come in, and half the country will be elated. But then something Marty always says, you know, Monday goes to Tuesday. You still have to get up, go to work, take care of the kids, grandkids in your case. You'd still have to do your thing, regardless of who wins.
Absolutely. And I do think that whoever wins and whoever loses, one side is going to be very angry. Whatever side that is, one side is going to be very angry and disappointed. And I think then the focus has to become, how do we get together? How can we avoid being this divided nation? Because, you know, even gender divisions have apparently seemed to be a big divider in this election. And at some point, you know what they say, divided we fall. We got to get together
and find a way to kind of mend. And you know, nothing's impossible. It seems, though, pretty tough challenge right now to get one side to agree much with the other side on anything. It's been that divisive.
Absolutely.
And demonization.
It has been. And let's remember, too, Larry, that didn't just start with this election. You know, it's been in the making for a while. It just became more obvious this go-round.
Well, that said, what do you hear in terms of the economy? I mean, people always, we don't want inflation. You want your money to be worth a lot more. You want job opportunities, all these things. And both candidates promise to take care of us, all of us, at the same time. I don't know that that's going to happen with the stroke of a pen. It's going to take time either way.
It is going to take time, Larry. And I think the more you talk to voters and you listen to what voters have to say, the more you realize that a lot of Americans don't really even understand how the system works. You know, I mean, electing a president is one thing, but if they don't have congressional and senatorial support, they're not going to get much of their agenda through, whichever side it is, unless we can get to a point where we have some bipartisanship. And, you know, there are many political types who will argue that local elections are way more meaningful than national ones, because those are the ones that affect your day-to-day life.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And some of those are not real obvious. Some of those are simply school board elections that, in most cases, let's be honest, who does real deep research on the school board candidates when those come up, right?
Exactly. And Pittsburgh Public Schools is a perfect example. That school board is now trying to decide which buildings will be open, which buildings are going to close. If you didn't vote in those elections, you're probably feeling badly, especially if your representative is taking a side opposed to what you believe.
We're with Lynn Hayes Freeland on the Big K Morning Show. Lynn, you got time? Stick around.
I sure do.
All right. We'll talk to Marty in just a few moments. Right now, back to Lynn Hayes Freeland, who's joining us from her home in Atlanta, Georgia. So once we get through whatever happens today into tomorrow, into however, my question is, it's going to be a lot quieter on the airwaves with radio and TV political ads ending today, right?
It absolutely is going to be a lot quieter on the airways. Let me just back up for just a second, Larry, and excuse me, give you kudos on having the vice president on this morning. It was a great interview. It was insightful. I do think there are still people trying to decide what they're going to do. So while some might argue, it's too late, people have already voted, I think these interviews still matter. I'm not sure, I'm back to the advertising now, and I'm not sure if it's this way or not, but when I was in TV, whatever the sales were for 1 year, that became your budget for the next year. So, I mean, sales were through the roof this year, which would mean to me that it's going to be challenging for salespeople come next year.
Well, record amounts of money have been spent in TV and radio and social media, some print too, and digital billboards. I mean, everywhere you go, they even paid for all those signs you see for Trump and Harris and all the other candidates. So those things will all disappear. And, you know, what are we going to talk about? Because it seems like all we talk about is related to something in this campaign.
You know what? I think that's going to last for a while, Larry, though, because you figure if Donald Trump wins, people are already talking about whether or not Kennedy should be the director of Health and Human Services or whatever that department is. You know, I think there's going to be a lot to talk about, at least until the end of January. So you figure here we are. We'll have Thanksgiving and Christmas. Then we'll get back to the politics until mid-January.
The irony is if Donald Trump wins, it's Vice President Kamala Harris's duty in January to certify the election.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
A lot of interesting dynamics, no matter what happens. KDK is here, and we've got our team assembled for tonight into tomorrow. And Lynn, who knows what will happen between now and next Tuesday when we talk?
Absolutely, but let's hope we know by next Tuesday.
That's
let's
a
hope
great
we know point. By next Tuesday.
That's a great point. All right, Lynn, thanks. Have a great
All
election
right, thanks,
day.
Thanks, Larry. All right.
Hey, morning show. I'm Larry Richard. And as promised, we've worked our way through candidates over the course of this election. And now that it's election day, he wants to be your United States Senator representing Pennsylvania, Republican Dave McCormick. Dave, happy election day to you.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
You've run a long, hard campaign to get to this point. How are you feeling right now?
I feel great. You know, I feel like the last, 60 days has just everything's come into focus, and the choice before Pennsylvanians is clear. Really a choice between strength and weakness, common sense, policies to secure the border and get our economy back on track and have energy dominance versus a radical liberal agenda. And the choice, in my case, between change as an outsider, a West Point grad, a combat vet, a business person who's never been in elected office versus a 30-year incumbent who's just been weak and a rubber stamp for the agenda of Biden and Harris. He's voted for everything from reckless spending to defunding the police to boys competing in women's sports. So that framing is clear, and I feel like Pennsylvanians are responding, which is why my campaign has the momentum and the polls have closed, and I feel great about today. It's a beautiful day in Pittsburgh, and I'm hoping and praying for good things.
And Dave, look how important Pennsylvania has been in the presidential race. Wow. We have gotten double-digit visits from both candidates and their running mates, which only tells people of southwestern Pennsylvania, since both of them were here yesterday, man, we must really matter.
Honestly, this is I'm not overstating what I'm going to say here. This is where the future of the country will be decided, because who wins Pennsylvania at the top of the ticket will likely determine the presidency. Both President Trump and Kamala Harris agree on that. And, you know, if I win the Senate seat, that'll help flip the majority and put in place a mandate for change. And listen, this is where you want to be. This is you know, if you're a competitor, if you're a leader, if you're someone who wants to bring about change, you want to be in the hottest race in the country when, you know, there's 1 yard to go to get a touchdown and the stakes are high and the future of the country depends on it. So I feel honored to be where we are, and I'm optimistic about our future. I feel like Pennsylvanians have good common sense and, you know, can see who's really committed to bringing about change. So listen, we'll see how it goes, but I feel great about it.
We're with Republican candidate for United States Senate, Dave McCormick. That said, after this is over, assuming you win, how do we begin to try to mend some of the divisiveness to work together to get stuff done for all of us?
You know, I end every one of my campaign talks, my stump speeches, by saying, listen, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, but I'm running to represent every single Pennsylvanian. And these problems of skyrocketing prices or the fentanyl, which has killed 4,000 Pennsylvanians last year, or the spike in violent crime, they are all problems that affect every single Pennsylvanian. And so that's what the job is to represent everybody and find ways to solve those problems. You can't do that by yourself. You gotta build coalitions, which I've done through my whole life in business and the military, to get things done. And, the America I know is the America that I encountered as a 22-year-old platoon leader in the 82nd Airborne Division. And in my platoon, there was a kid from rural Alabama. There was an African-American kid from Newark, Puerto Rican platoon sergeant who was 35, and I was 22. It seemed like he was like 1,000 years old. And we took that unit to the Middle East, went into Iraq. I never remember talking about race, religion, political affiliation. We were just all Americans. We were all there to protect one another and serve our great country, the most exceptional country in the world. So that's where my heart is. Politics is a contact sport these days, and this has been a tough campaign and a brutal campaign. But I'm running to represent everybody, and I'm running with the basic premise of duty, honor, country, which is what I learned at West Point. That doesn't have a party affiliation. That's for all of us.
Well, Dave, politics aside, I think we all appreciate the men and women who have served. So thank you for your service. Where will you be tonight?
I'm in Pittsburgh all day. I'm going to be going to a bunch of different polling sites. And then we've got a watch party downtown Pittsburgh where friends and all my family will be there, my mom and dad and my wife's mom and dad and a bunch of our kids. And we're just going to be sitting there watching the returns come in and praying for a change in leadership and an opportunity to lead and represent and serve our great Commonwealth.
Appreciate your time. Thank you, Dave.
Yes, sir. Have a great day today. Thank you.
Dave McCormick, Republican candidate for the United States Senate on the Big K Morning Show. Almost 3 hours in on this election day. Marty's going to take you through the next 4 hours as we get ready to work our way through this election day. We have complete coverage. Comprehensive coverage this afternoon and evening. We have a team assembled throughout the night and overnight. Next Take Pittsburgh. This is our University of Pittsburgh students who air a show on the overnights from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. And they're going to be live for their first time to be able to react to whatever transpires overnight. And we don't know exactly when we'll know. Maybe there's some kind of aberration and there's a landslide, which seems highly unlikely. Then we'll know. Otherwise, it may be a while. Marty Griffin has just entered the studio with Patrick O'Connor.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Weather favors Democrats. Just does. Just telling you.
Really?
It does. Always has. More turnout. The old ladies don't have to wear their raincoats and
babushkas.
I'm just telling you, bro. And my Republican boys are freaking out. Also, there's been a surge in a third-party candidate. I got boys texting me, writing in Marty Griffin.
Why understand not? That.
I'll lead this damn country. F-bombs for all.
How about the DA over at Philly? Did you see that video?
He's a little angry.
He's a little angry.
Go ahead, mess with us.
Yeah. That
we'll jack you up.
But that's kind of
why people hate that town? Yes.
Well, I mean, it has a stereotype.
Why it's dirty and grimy? Yes. And why all they're known for is that gross cheesesteak thing? Yeah. Yeah.
By the way,
last night, I watched them both. Larry, it's kind of, because you know you work crazy hours, and I work a lot of hours.
Yeah.
You got to give Trump love that man was rocking it at 2:30 in the morning. Larry, I've heard from, well, Ron Layton worked for him, right?
Right.
Protecting him. He didn't work for him. He said the guy needs like 3.5 hours sleep. Obviously, he has like some special
high functioning.
I mean, it's insane because I would be, Larry, I'd be an attitudinal zombie.
Well, think of the grind that he's been in this campaign.
Oh.
Not to mention July 13th and living through all that. And he's been on the road a lot longer, actually, than Kamala Harris, because she got in late when Biden dropped out.
So your brother-in-law's in town. Yeah. And we know that might be causing some angst at home for various political reasons. And I mentioned it to your wife, his sister, and no response. And, you know, it's very unusual for her not to respond, Lawrence. By the way, hell of a job with Kamala Harris.
Well, thanks. I mean, we reached out to all, as you know, you've done it. You've done this a million times.
Does it make a difference? Look, I was in there with PJ, and I mean this, Larry. And Patrick knows this. He's standing in here. There are people right now doing the eeny, meeny, miny thing.
You think?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I'll tell you why. 70% of Americans want to change, but they don't want Trump. But they don't like her. I mean, it's very confusing.
There are a lot of people in the middle of this.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what do I do?
Yeah. Most of the guys I know want Trump. And most of the businessmen I know want Trump. Why? Because they want to change. Most of the women I know, and again, this is generalizing, they want Kamala because they think Trump is horrible to women. And again, I'm generalizing, but the polling shows that. The truth is, they're suggesting that if she wins, it's white women, African-American men, and Hispanics. And if he wins, it's white men. And older women. I'm just saying. Could be a long one. I hope it ends early. I hope we know early, because I don't want to hear all this crap. Right, Larry?
Yeah, I agree with that. And then let's get on to the business of whatever it is that's going to be next. It is going to be
Griffin.
Donald Trump or Kamala Harris.
I will lead this country to a place they've never been before.
Or Marty Griffin.
A very, very dark time, Larry.
It is your right to write in a candidate if you want.
The Griff. By the way, last night, Ed Gainey was amazing. Did you watch him last night?
Listen.
My man can speak.
Listen, I've been in his presence, and regardless of the conversations you've had with him, when he's engaged in front of a crowd, he has a gift, which is
hell yeah.
Part how he got elected.
Hey, he's better than, I'm not trying to be derogatory toward Harris, but in terms of public speaking, he's better than her. He was inspirational last night. It was kind of cool. The whole thing I watched.
All right, Marty. Crazy. Here we go.
We'll see. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.